Welcome to I Think You're Interesting. I'm Todd Vanderwerf of the I, and I Think You're Interesting. My guest this week is Phil Rosenthal. He's one of my favorite guys to talk to in Hollywood. I've talked to him many times over the years, and I think that his career path is, I hope that someday it can be my career path. He's the co-creator of the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond, which was one of my favorite sitcoms for the 9 years it was on the air. And after that, he's written a book. He's made a movie about exporting Raymond to Russia. And now he is the host of a food travelogue show, which just seems like, you know, not a thing most sitcom creators are doing with their spare time. It's called Somebody Feed Phil, and its second season debuts on Netflix on Friday, January 12th. I love talking to Phil because he's always got some weird perspective on what's happening. He's like that funny uncle that you always had at your family gatherings, who always had like some strange story about his adventures and mishaps. And I'm looking forward to talking to Phil about his show and about all of his exploits in the past and just whatever he's been up to recently, because I'm sure he'll have something exciting to say about it. But I had to start in the most important place of all, which is, how do you convey to the viewer how what you're eating tastes great? Because he has one of those great I'm eating something amazing faces. And we're going to start there. I hope you enjoy it. Phil, thank you for joining me.
Hello!
I want to start in kind of an interesting place, because as I was watching your show, I was thinking about this, like, making the face when you've eaten food. And like because watching somebody eat is not inherently an interesting thing to do.
You're right.
But like, if that person has a good like food face, like, then it is interesting, because you're like sort of secondhand experiencing what the food tastes like. So have you just always been able to do that? Or are you like now that you've done two seasons of the show, have you like coached yourself into a place where you
God,
can?
God, there's no acting on the show. I can promise you that. You're seeing real reactions. Sometimes I don't like something. You get that face.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm blessed or cursed with the worst poker face in history. You can tell what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It reads all over me.
Yeah.
So I could never lie very well to my parents. They always knew. I'm just, some people have that face. I guess I have that face. If people laugh, if they think it's, if they get enjoyment, if they say that, oh, I can taste it because of the way your face is tasting it, well, that's great. I'm happy to help.
What was the thing that you tried? You've been all over the world now.
Yeah.
12 episodes of this show. What is the thing that you tried that you were sure you were going to hate that you ended up liking?
Oh, that's, wow. So in Mexico City,
right,
which is one of these six.
Yeah.
Bill Esparza took me. He's the taco expert of the world. He was in the LA episode when we did that. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm taking you to a place. I'm going to give you three tacos. I'm not going to tell you what's in them. So right away, you know, I love surprises.
Yeah.
But this could be a bad surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
And I took a big bite out of the first one, mm-hmm, thinking it would be a good surprise, and it was a bad surprise. I don't even want to tell you what it was. I'll save it for the show.
Okay, all right.
But it was not good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The second one, not good.
Okay.
The third one, my bites are getting smaller because the monkey learns a little bit. Here it comes. Great.
Amazing.
So I was expecting terrible. The first two were terrible. The third one was great.
Was that a plan by your friend? Or
nope. Because he liked all of them.
Okay.
He likes even the disgusting one to me.
Yeah.
He thinks is great. But that's his culture. That's what he grew up with.
Yeah.
Not me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you what it was, you'll say, oh, I wouldn't eat that.
Can you give us like a hint as to like what animal family?
Yes, it's a part of the cow.
Okay.
That we don't eat here.
Okay. All right. Excellent. So tell me a little bit about how you came to do this show, because as I was saying in the
genesis, the superhero origin story.
As I was saying in the introduction, I can't think of a lot of people who created sitcoms and then went on to host food travelogues, but maybe there's somebody else.
There could be, but listen, you know, Larry David, he worked behind the scenes on Seinfeld.
Right.
I work behind the scenes on Raymond. He now has a show that's a full expression of who he really is.
Yes.
And you see him.
Mm-hmm.
This is me. Right? He's doing what he loves. I'm doing what I love.
Right.
This show combines, when I think about it, everything I love in life. So what do I mean? Well, I get to make a show. I love making a show. Mm-hmm. I love making people laugh. I love every part of show business.
Right.
Writing, directing, editing, producing, acting even, right? Performing.
Right.
So I'm on camera, I'm off camera, I'm doing, making this show. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love every aspect of the business except the business.
Yeah.
In show business, the business is the part that keeps you from doing the show part of show business.
Exactly.
So now what's the show about? Everything else I love in life. Food, travel, laughs, family, friends. Mm-hmm. I'm combining everything. So for me, this is the dream. Right. To get to do this. I'm the luckiest bastard you'll ever meet. Right. That's how I feel. Grateful, lucky. I wish this for everybody, to do the thing that they love with people that they love. Right. That's what I'm getting to do now. So how long did it take me to do this? I'm going to say concentrating on it, like I want to do this, 10 years.
Wow. Mm. Yeah.
Because they don't hand the dreams out to people. You have to work at it. But if you're going to work at something, like I could be knocking my head against the wall to do a sitcom that I don't particularly want to do, just to get another sitcom on. Right. I already was very, 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 very lucky doing the one I did. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I haven't tried to do more.
Yeah.
For some reason, they either don't want what I do anymore, or we haven't found it yet, or I'm not crazy about what they want me to do.
Right.
So— to be fair, it is a two-way street.
Yeah.
You know, I'm being picky and they're being picky. That's fine. And maybe I was a one-hit sitcom wonder. That's also possible.
Okay.
I don't know. But I can tell you that I've tried, and so far it hasn't happened again. Now, this show got planted in my head when we did the Italy episode of Raymond.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that episode.
I do, yes.
That episode came about because at the end of season one, I said to my friend Raymond, where are you going on your hiatus, your little vacation in between seasons? Right. He said, I go to the Jersey Shore. And I said, oh, that's great. Hey, have you ever been to Europe? He goes, nope. I said, why not? He goes, nah, I'm not really interested in other cultures. Even Italy, his own culture, not interested.
Yeah.
So light bulb goes off. Got to do that episode.
Yeah.
Got to do that episode where we send him over. As Ray Romano,
yeah,
guy not interested, and send him back as me, guy very interested, guy very excited about travel and the food and the eating in Italy specifically. This is one of the great things you could do in life. So I write this script about the transformation of a guy who doesn't want to go somewhere and who falls in love with the idea of travel, of Italy, of the food in Italy, of the everything I said. And damn it, if we didn't see it happen in the show— Nice episode. Mm-hmm. We see Ray's transformation. And what I saw was the transformation, not just of the character, but of the person.
Oh.
And that's when the big light bulb went off. To me, I get such pleasure in turning you on to something that I love.
Right.
And when it's seeing that, your eyes light up the way mine do.
Yeah.
The thing I'm excited about, I want you to be excited about. And so turning people on to this. Food, travel, other cultures, people in other cultures, from other cultures. The world would be better if we all could experience a little of someone else's experience, right?
Yeah.
Since that moment, I said, I wish I could do a show where I do that.
Yeah.
And it took that long of knocking my head against the Hollywood wall, trying to get all the other shows going that went either a little bit or didn't go at all. And you just keep trying and trying. And listen, I got to do a movie where I went to Russia. That also helped me get this show. I did Exporting Raymond, which is the story of me going to Russia to try to help them turn my show into Everybody Loves Kostya. That's on Netflix too, by the way. You could see that too. Exporting Raymond is a documentary I made. How many years ago now? Six years ago.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, PBS saw that and said, we like the idea of you going places. I said, so does my wife. I've had this idea for a long time. What if there was a show where I went around the world and showed you where to eat as an effort to get you to travel? He said, yes. My brother said, when I told him I'm going to do this show, he goes, really? You get that show. He goes, what are you going to call the show? The Lucky Bastard? Well, we called the production company that. We couldn't call the show that, but.
Do you do food and travel go like hand in hand? Does like
yes.
going to another place and like yes. also trying the food, like that's, yeah.
I'll go one step further. I'm planning my vacation around the food.
Okay.
Where do they have good food? Mm. I want to go there.
Yeah.
And then that's the great connector, you know, that's mm-hmm. the way in. And then we find all the other beautiful things to love about the place.
Right.
But for me, the food, that's what I love trying the most from the other culture. And it is culture.
Yeah.
Food is culture.
A fresh new year has begun. I don't know if you've noticed, but it has for me. It's raining in Los Angeles. It only happens when the new year arrives. So if you're setting new goals for your business, it's extremely difficult to reach them without the right people on your team. ZipRecruiter has transformed how you go about finding those right people. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. And then ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invites them to apply. They even review every application to identify the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire, and you can find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/think. That's ZipRecruiter.com/think. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/think. I think that one of the things that's fascinating about the show is the way you use food as a way to start to talk about people.
Yes.
Like the Bangkok episode, which I yes. think is the premiere of season two.
On Netflix, you get all six at yeah. once. You can watch them in any order you want, people.
Yeah. But like that episode really has a great section about like the floating markets.
Yes.
And like how you often can tell a lot about like a culture from going to a market and just like seeing the food that's sold there, what people are eating, things yeah. like that. What is it that you think is like – why is food such a great window into understanding people?
They spend a lot of time on it. Sometimes it's the only bright spot in their lives. Mm. You know, sometimes that's their role in life is to make food. Mm. And so it defines them. I make the best cow soy, you know, in yeah. this province. Mm-hmm. That's a family pride. We have the equivalent here. Mm-hmm. We have mom and pop shops where that guy makes the best sandwich you ever had and you want to go. Mm-hmm. So it's the same all over the world. And people love it because it's a break in their day. The food is the break of their humdrum lives where they have to work hard. Oh, but I get that bowl of cow soy at the end of the day or in the middle of the day. That makes my day. That's how I feel about every lunch I have.
Yeah.
I plan my whole day about where I'm going to have lunch because it's the tent pole in the middle of my day. I'll work all morning, but I got lunch coming.
Yeah.
Here, I got that thing to look forward to. I'm going to meet my friend there and we're going to have fun and it's going to be delicious and we're trying a new place. And then I've had that. Now I can work the afternoon until dinner. Right? So, yeah. I think it defines people. It's a point of national pride. We should never let that get homogenized out of existence.
Right.
You know, your McDonald's, you do well enough. You don't have to be across the street from the Duomo in Florence.
Right.
Mm. Let them have their culture. Let these people, we need to preserve this. It makes life worth living. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to go there and have the best pasta I ever had in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I do know people who are afraid to try stuff, who go to foreign countries and they look for McDonald's.
Yeah.
Why go? This is the culture to try what the centuries sometimes, thousands of years went into this dish of noodles.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to taste it?
Mm. Yeah. I ate at a McDonald's in the Amsterdam airport and I'm very sorry for that.
By the way, I heard that in certain McDonald's around the world, some of the ingredients may be slightly different from here, yeah. and there are these variances. I'm not saying never go.
Right.
It might be interesting to yeah. go. But please, you got to try the other stuff. You might like it. We're not children. We tell our kids, try it. What's the worst that happens?
Yeah.
I don't like it. But the trying is the, you know, the journey is its own reward. To me, the tasting is its own reward.
Excellent. You did an episode about Los Angeles.
Loved it.
The first season.
Yeah, and I love living here. The world is here.
How long have you lived here?
Half my life now.
Half your life. Okay. But
the second half, the first half was New York.
And to me, Los Angeles, New York, they're both like, the great thing about their culinary tradition is it's from everywhere. Everywhere comes here.
Exactly right.
Blends up together.
So if you can't travel every day,
yeah,
the world comes to you.
What did you learn about the city you've lived in half your life from making an episode about the food here that maybe you hadn't thought of before?
I didn't like it when I first came here.
Oh, yeah.
I was a dyed-in-the-wool New Yorker. Woody Allen taught me how to feel about L.A. And so that was my prejudice. I felt that this was going to be a vapid, sunny, smoggy place with no culture. You know, he said the only cultural advantage is you can take a right turn on a red light.
Yeah.
And he in the Annie Hall, he ordered a plate of mashed yeast from a health food restaurant, right? So I thought that's when I'm going into land of fruits and nuts and crazies. And so I get here, and it's kind of how I felt because I was almost made to feel that way.
Yeah.
And soon I found a place or two that I like to eat. Oh, this is good. This place is good. And then another one, and then another one, and then – it just so happened that coinciding with my arrival came the food revolution in Los Angeles.
Right.
And I saw it evolve during my time here.
Yeah.
It became the worst food city in America to now, I honestly think, the best.
Yeah.
Because of our diversity. We have the biggest populations of ethnic people outside their homelands in the world.
Yeah.
Biggest Korean population outside of Korea. Right?
Right.
Biggest Japanese, biggest Mexican. So many here, and you can travel without leaving the city. You can go to another land. You can visit every province of China by going to the San Gabriel Valley and going to the different neighborhoods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. One of my favorite things to do is to go exploring in that area with someone who knows.
Mm. Yeah. What's a cuisine you've had in Los Angeles that you haven't been fortunate enough to like travel to where it comes from?
Ethiopian.
Oh yeah,
Meals by Gannett on Fairfax. You know, there's little Ethiopia right there. I haven't tried them all because I'm in love with her and that food. Have you had that?
I have not. Spectacular. I love Ethiopian.
Though. Oh my god, it's good. I did go to South Africa. I didn't go to Ethiopia, but I was in Cape Town and I tried some Ethiopian food there. I feel like close enough, and it was great. It's great.
Yeah.
I would say Gannett is just as good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That you could actually be in Africa and have African food and then come back to LA and maybe it's a little better here.
Right. Right. If you were going to take me out to lunch and you're going to go to a place where it just wouldn't fail, you don't even have to name the place, but like what are you looking for in a spot where you know you're going to get something good if you're
taking the best of that thing, like the elevated version of maybe something that you know well from childhood.
Right.
Or something you've had your whole life. And there is something that's popping to the front of my mind.
Oh, great.
It's a chicken sandwich.
Okay.
Doesn't sound very exciting.
No.
But there's a place, I don't know if you've been yet, called Howlin' Rays.
Oh, yes. I've been there many times. It's amazing. Yeah.
Is there a better chicken sandwich on earth?
No. No,
so
there's not.
So there it is. It's a fried chicken sandwich with you can get it in various degrees of hotness, the hottest one being Howlin', hence the name. I get medium. I can't go above medium. Can you?
I have gone hot before.
It hurts.
It does.
It hurts my lips. I took one bite of hot and my lips hurt for 20 minutes.
I actually, when I, my in-laws wanted to try it. So we ordered one chicken wing that was Howlin'.
Oh.
And we all took like a bite of it.
You
and
did.
It turned all of us into like, just like we were dissolving into tears. So.
Wow.
I don't recommend it.
Well, no, because it reaches a point where you're not experiencing flavor.
Right.
Just pain.
Right.
So why not just staple your tongue? Right? Why bother?
Right.
If you want pain, do that. I don't like when food is so not about the flavor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't like a restaurant that's not about how delicious the food is.
I should say that my in-laws and I are all very bland white Midwesterners. So we like, you know, we eat like gigantic plates of carbohydrates. Like that is our native food.
I love that you guys tried that though.
Yeah.
That's very adventurous, way more than me.
Yeah.
Like if I knew that if hot was going to medium was getting everything you want out of a spicy food. Mm. I was sweating, nose running, eyes watering, and yet so delicious, so much flavor still that you can't stop. Yeah. The endorphins are going. You know, they say this kind of spicy food gives you that runner's high.
Yeah.
You know, the endorphins. The same thing when you eat chocolate or when you're naturally happy.
Right.
This food does that to you. This fried chicken sandwich, I think they pound the breast out so that it's the size of a dinner plate.
Yeah.
On a regular size bun. That's kind of one of those squishy In-N-Out buns.
Yeah.
That go down real easy. And then the sauce they have with it and the, I think there's coleslaw on it also. It's a perfect combination of flavors. I dream about that. And I would go way more often if the line wasn't an hour and a half. Right?
Speaking of lines, because you had mentioned, I was going to mention the line. And in some of the episodes, you're like, you come across a big line. And
yes.
You're like, I'm just going to stand in line until I see what this is.
You have to sometimes. Especially in another country. It's like if you're trying street food in Bangkok.
Yeah.
How do you know which one?
Yeah.
How do you know which one is, first of all, safe?
Yeah.
I think, you know, you don't see people dying in the street, so you're thinking it's all okay.
Right.
But what's that line?
Yeah.
Well, it's not an hour. It's 15 minutes. I'll do it.
Yeah.
So we do it.
Do you like the process of standing in line? Is that a thing that you enjoy? Because sometimes that's like a great way to get to know people too, you know?
I do not like standing in line. I do not. I reached a certain age where that's enough. I remember in Chicago, there was this hot dog place I love called Hot Dogs.
Oh, yes. Hot Dogs.
Best,
I've been there.
Best dogs in America, maybe. He doesn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Closed. But I had it, and I had my wife in Chicago then. Another time, I said, we're going to Hot Dogs. You got to try these hot dogs. And we go, and we get online. And I didn't know how long it would be. The first time I went, there wasn't a line. This line, hour and a half.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I didn't enjoy waiting an hour and a half for anything. But damn, if those dogs weren't worth it.
They were. I'd
agree.
They
were.
Yeah.
They were. Where's he now? Somebody tell me where he went.
I believe that he opened new hot dogs in like Wrigley Field. Like there, you can only go to, I think it's either Wrigley or it's whatever.
See, now that would make me like sports.
Yeah.
He's a genius. Mm-hmm. And there are these geniuses. I think one of the great things to find in food is the idealized version of what we loved as a kid.
Yeah.
You know that moment in Ratatouille?
Yeah.
Not only is it the best food moment in the history of movies, but it's one of the best moments of any kind in the history of movies. In this Pixar animated movie, the food critic, who's a jerk for most of the movie, tastes the ratatouille and is zam, transported to when he was a kid and his mother gave him ratatouille. That is the power of food and flavor and taste and memory and how it's all connected. And it's so identifiable. That is a universal thing that they hit on, right? That's what we look for, I think, when we're that's the ultimate. The simple thing that's going to transport you to happy time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
You when you mentioned that what were sort of the idealized version of the thing you liked as a kid, like were hot dogs your thing you liked as a kid, or what was the thing you liked as a kid that now you
all love the things that Americans like?
Yeah.
Hot dogs, pizza, hamburgers, right?
Yeah.
all the junk food, all that. I love that. I'm just as happy, if not happier, with the great version of one of those things and the four-star French meal.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm a little over it, the sitting for 3-4 hours with the white tablecloth and the fancy surface. Don't need it. I did it. I'm lucky that I did it. I advise everyone to do it once in their life to experience that, because that's transporting in a different way.
Right.
You're suddenly, oh, I'm being treated like a king. And I'm getting some of the fanciest, most beautiful. You actually, plates come and you go, you made this for me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know I'm paying and probably paying a lot, but this is a work of art. And then it's delicious on top of it. This is, you know.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But if you've been lucky enough to do it, several times. You're now looking for, I don't know, the minimalist version.
Yeah.
The stripped down version. I don't care what a place looks like. You see in the Bangkok episode, I go to a shack where they have cow soy, a bowl of cow soy. Mm-hmm. It's one of the happiest moments of my life to have that bowl of delicious. You know what it's in there? Should we tell the people?
Sure. Go for it.
It's a bowl of coconut curry soup, a big bowl.
Right.
Enough for three people.
Mm-hmm.
Coconut curry soup. Stay with me. Big piece of chicken, like whole drums,